Welcome to the In Sync Insurance Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Cross, and today we'll be discussing nail salon safety with guests Rian and Charlotte from Sunshine Training. If you enjoy our podcast, make sure to leave a rating on your favourite podcast directory. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming back, Rian. It's lovely to see you again.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me back.
And also today we have got Charlotte with us. Now, obviously, we've got some background on Rian. So, Charlotte, could you give us a bit more background about how you came to be in a trainer role?
Of course, yeah. So I haven't always worked in this industry. I came into it quite late and I was 41 when I started. So I started with hair and then found a passion doing nails and beauty. And I've always been quite driven and wanted to do more all the time. So I decided to share my knowledge and become an educator. So I did that and passed my AET in 2019. And that's where we started.
Oh, that's amazing. So is there anything that you prefer, like treatment-wise, that definitely just nails is like your niche?
Yeah, nails is definitely my niche, 100%. But I do like having the beauty side as well. It just makes your day varied, so you're not doing the same thing day in and day out.
No, but absolutely. Yeah. So our topic today is we wanted to talk more about kind of chemical usage in salons, because obviously a lot of people, when they go through the training, they get taught how to be careful about chemicals, but I feel like maybe sometimes you need a refresher, or even just to think about the longer lasting effects, or even just down to, you know, if you've got an asthmatic staff member, for example, yeah, how we can best tackle it. So my first question is, what are the most common chemicals used in beauty salons, especially within nail salons?
Yeah, so a lot of people actually don't realise that actually nearly all the products we use in the beauty salons have chemicals in them. So in my salon, we use a lot of nail products, obviously. And I suppose the harshest chemicals are when I'm doing acrylics. So monomer, I would say, would be the most used that I have at work. But obviously you've got to remember that everything pretty much has an element of chemicals in, and a lot of people don't realise that. So, you know, down to like gel polish as well. So, yeah, there's a lot that are generally widely used, but mostly mine is monomer that you use with acrylics.
So following on from that, kind of what safety precautions you would recommend that practitioners employ? So this might be especially useful for anyone starting fresh out in the industry.
Yeah, so when you're starting fresh out in the industry, everyone needs to make sure that they have risk assessments set up in place, and that goes from salons to anyone that works at home like myself, because the chemicals have to be used and stored correctly. So what I would say to them is get a risk assessment done. Make sure that you're following the manufacturer's guidelines for everything, down to how to use it, how to store it. A lot of things, because they've got chemicals in, have to be in dark, cool places. And if we talk about things like the monomer, which I do use a lot, they have to be in non-flammable containers. So everything that I have goes into metal cabinets in the salon. So really they're the main areas I would say to look at, and just follow all the guidelines that come with those products that you're going to be using. 100%.
Definitely. Is there anything kind of customer wise as well that people need to look out for? Like, is it worth people, for example, having forms or like disclaimers, like we're using these sort of chemicals, you know, just to make you aware before you book an appointment with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously when a client gets in touch, they need to know the process of what they're actually booking, and not everybody does, and they don't realize that there's chemicals involved in things. So obviously if it's something that isn't nail related, it's a skin-based product, then obviously they're going to need skin tests and things like that, and they'll have to sign to say that they've actually had them done. And obviously we need to keep documentation of that as well that we can store. So yeah, absolutely, having notes and records of that is really important.
it's normally done through consultation, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it can be done if it's something to do with beauty. It can be that they've turned up beforehand, filled out the consultation forms because they're having a skin test. With nails, not so much. We don't have to have skin tests, but we absolutely do still need to make sure that we're being careful around that client with all the things that we're using. So yeah.
And some chemicals can cause like contraindications and stuff like that, can't they? So that's again why we tend to do more of a consultation with the client if they're first time, just to make sure that they're not going to have any allergic reactions and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we need to know their history, their medical history, and make sure that we're not using anything that they've had a reaction to in the past.
Okay.
No, I agree. And I think we've seen, you know, not me personally, I'm not a practitioner, but we've seen certain instances and examples where, you know, clients maybe don't quite realise that maybe they'll have a repeat reaction, and sometimes common sense goes out the window because you're not, you know, feeling well, you don't make that link. So as a practitioner, it's really good just to double and triple check with the history that, okay, yeah, no, maybe this isn't the best for you if you just told me this. Because some people don't quite realise, and this is also in reference to, we did an aesthetics episode with Agnes Kuzniak, and she was saying how someone had a reaction because they didn't realise to tell the practitioner that they were actually on antibiotics at the time of the appointment, but they didn't correlate that actually, because they were on medications, they probably should have said something. So they just about avoided a reaction, but obviously the practitioner made sure to like double and triple check, which is always key.
Yeah, absolutely. From like an education point of view as well, that we always say to all of our students, like when you're doing a consultation, you don't necessarily have to stick to that consultation, as in the questions asked. You can also go about and ask your own questions to really make sure that treatment is right for that client at that time. And back when we all went back to normal just after COVID, we had quite a lot of, in the industry, quite a lot of different reactions coming about from hair colour and certain things, if people have had the COVID jab. So yeah, I mean, even I was one of those. I went and had a skin test done. I've never ever reacted to anything in my life. Went and had a skin test done for hair colour, roughly around 6 months after having the first COVID jab. And I reacted so severely to the colour. Luckily, it was only a patch test. So that was a massive wake-up call for me. And obviously, being the director of Sunshine Training, I then thought, well, actually, there's quite a lot of people out there that don't know about this. So we've implemented all of this into all of our training manuals as well. So any training courses that you do with Sunshine, you will learn about that as standard. And as everything that Charlotte's already mentioned beforehand, we go over all of this anyway within all your training as standard. So yeah, it's just really important, really.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's absolutely marvellous. And as well that you've incorporated your own experience into almost like an extra safety standard you want everyone to start checking for, especially with, you know, not everyone not knowing how the full term effects of the COVID jabs, just because, you know, it's still fresh and new, the whole situation. You know, it's really good to kind of look at that, because it has changed stuff in certain people's bodies, or they've developed an allergy to a fruit as well or something.
It's caused a lot more sensitivity, I've noticed, as well in clients. I don't know about you, Charlotte, but I've noticed, like, with when you're doing training courses and stuff and you've got models and stuff, you notice certain sensitivities in certain products. And again, they might not, it might not be on the consultation form to ask someone if they've had a COVID jab recently or something like that, because they're not really talked about anymore. But it is super important for that client's health and safety that the practitioner knows about it.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. And actually, after COVID, the first part of COVID happened and we all came out of lockdown, the government guidelines changed. So they were actually asking us to actually retest all of our clients that came through the door. Mm-hmm. It's like Rhianne had said earlier, some people were reacting that had never reacted before because of the jabs that they've been having. So it's always a good idea, and obviously we should be retesting them after a certain amount of months anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's normally around 6 months or the manufacturer's guidelines, but also as another thing, again, a lot of practitioners don't know, they tend to go off manufacturer's instructions or just say like 6 months, but also check with your insurance company, because I know a lot of insurance companies have got really hot on this recently, especially since COVID. And there's been quite a few different claims where you know, the clients have come back or whatever and they haven't been correctly tested, or they've not followed the guidelines when testing, they've not done it correctly, and then it's caused a bit of trouble. So just always make sure that you're checking your manufacturer's guidelines, how to correctly do the patch test, and also check with your insurance company, because they might be different to the manufacturer's instructions.
No, that's definitely key. I wanted to follow up with a question, if I may. So you were saying about how you implemented that new training aspect in like your safety manuals. Could you give me a little bit of insight of like other safety bits that you do through your training courses to ensure that students are well prepared when starting to use products in the outside world?
Yeah, absolutely. So how Sunshine Training is kind of structured. So every single course that you take through Sunshine Training has 4 parts to each manual. So just a quick overview, parts 1 and parts 2 are related to the treatment. And then parts 3 and parts 4 are generic parts. So they follow, so they have the exact same parts of every single manual. And they are like what we were just talking about, following the manufacturers and guidelines. So part 3 is all about health and safety. I believe there's 13 different pages on different different kind of health and safety sort of related acts. So you've got data protection, you've got RIDDOR, you've got COSH, all the relatable ones, and then we've got ones that aren't so relatable that people don't necessarily talk about, but they're still equally important. And then part 4 is all the kind of laws and regulations. That's where insurance really kicks in. And we have got quite a hefty write-up about insurance and the different insurances you can get. So when our students take a course, they already kind of get the background knowledge on what they need insurance wise, because again, that's a massive taboo subject. Where a student can just go hit a link and get insurance and they think they're insured for everything they've got. That's not necessarily true. You need to kind of have a background knowledge on what actually insurance you need. So if you've got a salon, you need different insurance if you're mobile and if you're salon based and stuff like that. So yeah, absolutely. With regards to obviously your question, I'd say in total around the safety of products, rules and regulations and that sort of thing, over the 2 parts, you're looking at about 30 pages worth of content, just to kind of give you an idea of how hefty the information is. And I am currently working on adding more to it, but because they will be so hefty, me and Charlotte are going to be integrating them into, removing them from the manuals and then integrating them as its own course, so people can actually go through and they don't necessarily have to rush through it, they can actually learn more about it. Because I do think that those parts are, although they can be deemed as boring, they are extremely important to our industry. So in the next 6 to 9 months, they'll be completely revamped and updated and loads more information will be going in now. I've already got the stuff, I just need to implement it now.
No, that sounds brilliant, because I think what some people don't get taught about, especially if they want to go self-employed or with a salon, they probably think, oh, I don't have to think about those things too much, when actually they are very, very key to make sure you protect yourself as well as the people that you work with, or your customers, because, you know, all the different acts and everything else have such an important part of things. And also, unfortunately, if something did go wrong and you didn't, you know, protect your client's data, for example, you are open, unfortunately, to some problems there. But that's brilliant how you just integrated it straight in there. And I think having a dedicated one is even better, because then, you know, anyone that's been in the industry but wants to brush up on making sure they know all the legal parts, I think would be beneficial 100%.
Yeah, so that's part of why we were going to do it as a standalone thing. But also, I think shorter term, if there are anyone listening and they've been in the industry a while and they actually think, actually, I would like to brush up on all the different acts, then I will release a kind of like an online course, which is all theory based and that will go on an online platform. So yeah, I can give you more details on it, Dawn, when it's available, and then we can let the listeners know when it's available, and then they
can You can leave it in the link, so at the time of listening as well, hopefully they can click straight on it if they're intrigued.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about making the industry better and ensuring that the people that are qualified in the industry know what they need to know, and not just the bare basics, because that's not going to get you anywhere in the industry anymore. Especially as regulations and stuff are coming out, it's really important that you know exactly what you're doing.
Oh, definitely. So circling back to Charlotte, I have one more question for you. Are there any actions people can take to avoid triggering skin reactions or asthma, for example, that they could implement whilst they're working as a practitioner?
Yeah, of course. So as far as asthma goes, obviously we need to make sure that there's good ventilation where we're working, whether that's a room, a salon, wherever it is that you are. Wider spaces are better, but if you can't obviously do that because you're working in a small room, then having good ventilation is key. Whether that means opening windows, using extraction systems, and also, you know, if you feel that still face masks can be used, because obviously it's not just COVID that we've initialised face masks because of that, but actually quite a lot of us have continued using them for different things. So if your client is somebody that's asthmatic, I do actually have some that are asthmatic or are prone to infections, chest infections and things like that. So, you know, if there's any doubt, your clients can actually wear face masks still as well. And a lot of people don't realise that that's something we can continue on with, really. They just think of it with COVID. But yeah, certainly ventilation is definitely key with asthma. As far as reactions go, and obviously that stems back to what we were talking about before with the skin tests. So obviously skin tests need to be done at least 48 hours before. The client needs that time to make sure that their skin doesn't react to the products that we're using. And it's really important to make sure that everything that you use, I mean, in my salon, even down to doing things, if there's an adhesive involved, everything goes on the skin. And talking about reactions, I have got a couple of clients that have allergies. So one is nut and the other one sesame seed. So although the products that we were using on the treatments they were having were all natural ingredients, it was still something I tested on them. So you know, there was no chemicals involved at all. It was all natural facial products. But just to be sure, that client signed a consultation card, they had a skin test, and I actually let them read the ingredients in the bottom of the bottle as well, because I just think that was really important for them to just check for themselves. Sometimes they need that for that peace of mind. So yeah, definitely, you know, skin tests and ventilation is key for both of those. And also overexposure, you've got to think about overexposure with products, because somebody then may have that contraction as they go out the door, because somebody has been touching them with products that shouldn't have been touching the skin. So that is a big thing as well when you're doing a service, making sure there's no overexposure to you and your client. Definitely.
And it's good as well that you let them read it and everything else, because, you know, for example, if you know you've done someone's nails, and then a lot of, if not all, practitioners probably will use some sort of cuticle oil or something just to kind of like neaten things up and help moisturize the skin area. But like, you know, almond oil is a very well used source, but then obviously if they've got a nut allergy but they don't know that's what you've used, obviously you could then get skin reaction right at the end of the treatment, which would be quite
And that is something that I do actually use almond oil in my cuticle oils, so yeah, you do have to be careful.
So essentially just need to double check the customer to make sure that, you know, the products you can definitely use with them, and then obviously you're less likely to have a problem at the end of the day. And I think that's what everyone wants, is someone to be happy after the service, go on the way, and then only get in contact when they want another service done instead of coming back with an issue.
And I also follow that with the teaching side as well. So if students have models coming in, all the models have to have skin tests. And then the products, so they have to come into my salon before my teaching days come round, and have skin tests to be done, and all, like I say, all the adhesives, the products, everything, because obviously they're all under my care when they come in to have the training done with the student. So it's really important that consultations are still done for that too.
I love it. Very thorough.
And and it kind of follows the student in the right path as well. If they, that's the whole point of central training, in a way, is that everything we do and the way the training's written is the way that we would work as a practitioner. So, so if I was to do a client, it would be no different if I was teaching a student, if that makes sense. So everything I do, it's same as Charlotte, everything we do in regards to consultation, what to look out for, skin analysis, all of that, that still gets taught in all of our courses, because it is really important, especially if someone's brand new to the industry and they've not had any form of background at all. It's really important that they learn how to do things correctly and properly.
We're leading by example at the end of the day, aren't we?
Definitely.
So as we are drawing to a close now, is there anything you guys would like to add after all that we spoke about on the episode?
As far as I'm concerned, I think it's just to follow, if it's somebody that's listening that is quite new to the industry or a qualified technician, just to follow those manufacturer's guidelines with everything. Always do your skin tests, and look out for overexposure as well, because that is something that a lot of people don't think about. Definitely.
I mean, for me, the only thing I would say is I would 100% agree with Charlotte. And if you're unsure of the manufacturer's guidelines, because not all products have them on there, then just contact that company, and they should be able to give it to you, to let you know what their exact guidelines are. And obviously, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, just make sure that you contact your insurance or find out from your insurance paperwork what they state, because again, the manufacturer's guidelines might say patch test every 6 months, but then your insurance policy might say you have to do it every 4 months. So whichever is the soonest, follow that, and just go with that, really, and you can't go wrong. Obviously, as I said in the last episode, if anyone has any questions or wants to pick my brains for anything, then I'm more than happy for anyone new, old, or qualified, whatever, you can come contact me and I will do my best to help you.
That's absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
No worries at all. Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you to my guests today, Charlotte and Rian, for talking about nail salon safety with us. If you're interested in learning more about Sunshine Training, please visit www.sunshinetraining.co.uk. I have been your host, Dawn Cross, and tune in next week for another episode. InSync is one of the UK's fastest growing insurance providers, offering comprehensive cover for SMEs and self-employed across the UK. Our expert team can tailor your insurance to meet your individual business needs and compare prices from our Lloyd's of London approved partners. We offer a 5-star service and have been FIFO Platinum Trusted winners for 4 years in a row.